Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
It's a Thursday here on the Cowboys Blogging the Boys podcast network, and of course that means it's time to get riled up here on the Cowboys with your man Tom Ryle and your boy Roy White at RDub3 on Twitter. You can follow him at Tom Ryle BTB, and of course you can follow all the great content at bloggingtheboys.com and by following us on Twitter at Blogging the Boys, and also subscribing to that YouTube channel. Check out the live show every Tuesday that we got coming to you, and we'll have that all throughout the offseason. Interesting offseason as it's been for the Cowboys, ups and downs as we now move into what is, in my opinion, the quieter portion of the Cowboys offseason typically. And it's also the point in which we kind of can step back and Tom start to, you know, understand and really put the pieces together of what the Cowboys expect themselves to be from a roster building standpoint. Now, there still are potential moves to be made, veterans that could be added, players that could be cut. But as we evaluate this roster and the Cowboys finishing rookie OTAs this week are continuing to do so, Tom had an excellent exercise in his mind of just, I think, exactly what most Cowboys fans are thinking right there now, right? Like, okay, I want to hear about the rookies and their development. That's great and all. It's awesome that they look good. But in reality, Tom, is this team going to be better than they were a season ago? And the best way to do that is to look and compare this roster to what it looked like 12 months ago at this time and how we felt about it. So,
yeah.
Without further ado, I'll let you start where you want to start on that one.
Yeah. We were really high on the roster a year ago at this time. People said it was one of the most talented. That was a perception that I think held up into the season. And this year, I don't think so. There are some people that are really trying to sell themselves on Tyler Smith, Jalen Tolbert, Sam Williams. Yeah, and so these guys may be great as rookies, but we've got to look at what the Cowboys had in hand a year ago and what they have now. There are some places that they do have some advantages, but there's some others that, yeah, there's some issues, I think, that we need to be honest about and able to look at. And with everything within the NFL, it starts with the quarterback. Now, this is actually one place where I think we feel better right now, because as you remember at this time last year, Dak was not full go in practice yet. He was still recovering from his horrible ankle injury, and everyone was really worried. I wouldn't say really worried, because they were telling us he was coming along and he was going to be ready for the season, but he wasn't there yet. And I think he actually is close to 100% now and is full participant. And I think it makes the quarterback position stronger, because the backup situation is still basically the same. It looks like they're going to roll with Will Greer as the QB3, while Cooper Rush is going to be the primary backup. And you may not be happy about that, but if you were happy last year, then you got to be a little bit happier this year just because of Dak.
Yeah, it's I do feel better about it from a health standpoint, right? I feel better about the position, especially Dak Prescott, you know, one more year under his books. How can you assume he's going to be any worse than what people really perceive him to be last year? And I mean, if I'm not doing it early enough, I want to beat the drum here a little bit. Like, Dak Prescott's demise last season was hellaciously overblown. To say that Dak Prescott had a down year in a year in which he had the highest completion percentage of his career, He threw more touchdown passes in a season than he had in any previous year, despite the fact that, you know, he missed a game, even though, again, it was a 16-game season. He had the second most yards in a season that he'd thrown in his career. The 10 interceptions he threw were not even amongst the two worst seasons he's had as a quarterback. His yards per attempt, okay, that was a little bit down, 7.5 compared to the last 2 years of 8.4 and 8.2. But, like, I think in general, massively, Dak Prescott was a little bit slandered by his performance last year. And unfortunately, like, somewhat of the fault of the team letting him down in areas. And also, you know, of his struggles. Like, I don't want to pretend that he didn't struggle last year at various times, but I just go back to, like, okay, he struggled, and yet he still put up arguably the best statistical season that he's produced as a Cowboy.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see – that's going to be – that's the hope. That's the great hope, because Dak is going to have to elevate some things, and we're going to get into in a minute. Now, another place where I don't feel that – they're actually very kind of the same, but maybe a little better with depth. Is it running back? Now, Ezekiel Elliott's coming off of a minor injury that hampered him the latter part of the season, actually about two-thirds or three-quarters of the season. Tony Pollard's still there. I'm encouraged. They're thinking about trying him maybe as a punt returner, which will give him some more touches, because that's what he needs, is more touches. I think they need to get him more involved. But I think the depth is shaping up a little bit better. And because of a couple guys that were barely seen last year but still have got another year in them, Rico Dowdle and Jaquan Hardy, I think they're looking at them for the RB3, maybe RB4, depending on how many they carry. So that's kind of a wash, although I'm a little bit optimistic about it.
Total wash in my mind. Like, can't say they're better, can't say they're worse. You know, if Zeke's a little bit healthier, okay, that's great, but it might be offset by one more year of, you know, tread on the tires. Tony Pollard should be better. Will they give him more opportunities? And I, you know, to be quite honest with you, like, I get it, and I get people being excited about Dowdle and Hardy and, you know, these young running backs, like, maybe they can become something. But I would guess that, you know, when the Cowboys move on from Ezekiel Elliott, it'll either be Tony Pollard's show or we'll be looking elsewhere outside of those two names, in my opinion. So I say wash there at running
back. Now we get into the first of the red flags, and that's wide receiver. Everyone thought the Cowboys had one of the best three starters in the league with Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup. Well, Amari Cooper's gone. Michael Gallup is not expected to be there to start the season. So, you know, for the first few games, they're going to have to get by without him. And that gives them trying to figure out what they're going to use out of James Washington, the rookie Jalen Tolbert. You know, we've got Noah Brown and Simi Fehoko back. And a lot of people are saying this Ty Freifogel guy has really looked good early on in the rookie minicamp, for what that's worth.
Not much in my book, Tom. I'm going to be very upfront with you. I appreciate you mentioning him, but not much in my book.
Yeah, he may be one of those guys that really jumps out preseason and stuff. But, yeah, this is a problem. This is where Dak and Kellen Moore are going to have to figure out how to elevate somebody. They're going to have to get the ball to CeeDee a lot, which means they're going to have to scheme him, because every team's going to know he's the main target. And I don't know what's going to come out of the rest. I'm hopeful Jalen Tolbert will be okay, but, when you're looking at a third-round rookie, you can't expect him to come in and be a high-quality NFL starter off the bat.
Well, you say that, and yet I look at the last couple of years of rookie wide receivers, and it's not impossible to dream in that respect. Yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do with what situation is that rookie wide receiver coming into. You couldn't really ask for a much more stable, better, you know, more advantageous position than one with a quarterback in Dak Prescott, number one, who knows what to do with the football, but number two, with an offense that, like, kind of is struggling for playmakers on the outside. So great opportunity for him. I also struggle with this one a little bit because I gotta, you know, I gotta remember we're going back to our feelings at that time. Definitely we feel worse about the wide receiver group, but as good as we felt about it last year, they didn't really live up to that level of expectation. Obviously, Michael Gallup getting hurt was a disappointment, but Amari Cooper only amassing 800 yards and the two of him and CeeDee failing to combine for more than 2,000 actually put them like in the middle to lower tier of wide receiver pairings in the NFL last year. So, I mean, yes, definitely on paper, feel worse about it, but I don't feel as bad as I think the paper suggests I should.
Yeah.
Is that fair? Is that fair
to say? Yeah, that's fair. But, you know, we're going to have to see if they can come around fast. Now,
yeah. I mean, CeeDee's got to be a big boy this season, and he's got to figure out the dropsies. That's got to go.
Yeah.
It's got to
go. Now, yeah, the next group is the other part of the receiving package, and that is
I thought you were going to say the other major red flag.
No, it's not. It's not a major. No, we got – one or two.
Oh, you're not there yet. Oh, you said tight end. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, tight end. We've got Dalton Schultz, who really stood up and I think surprised a lot of people with how good he did. But we've lost Blake Jarwin. And Schultz and Jarwin, if they'd have stayed healthy, could have been a dynamite pair of tight ends. Now we're kind of hoping that they're going to, you know, find something with Jake Ferguson, the rookie, but he's a fourth round draft pick. And then you've got Sean McKeon and Jeremy Sprinkle. And we're going to just have to see. I think they're good at tight end one. They don't know for sure what they've got for tight end two. And then the question is how many they carry. So that's another group that's down.
Yes, definitely down. Definitely down, really, because you don't even know. I don't think, like, we don't even know at this point right now whether or not we can run a 12 personnel, right? One running back, two tight ends. Like, we don't know at all if that can be an effective formation for the Cowboys. And that was a very effective formation when they had Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz both as threats there in the tight end room. So, yeah, now through four position groups, you and I feel worse about two of the four than we did at this time last year.
And now we got to wave a really big red flag, and that's the offensive line. They have parted ways with two of their starters from last season in Lael Collins and Connor Williams. You know, we didn't feel real strong about the offensive line, but we've got to feel worse now because they're relying on a rookie in Tyler Smith to come in and replace Connor Williams, or at least supplant Connor McGovern, which, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with him. They've still got The Rock and Zach Martin. They've got Tyron Smith, who's great when he's healthy. They're relying on Terrence Steele to be the starting right tackle, who he did very well. Given his pedigree, he did very, very well. But is he really who you want as your starting right tackle? And Stephen Jones has talked about the fact that they think there's going to be a lot more of an open competition for center, indicating they don't have that much faith in Tyler Biadasz and are hoping maybe Matt Farniok is going to be able to challenge or possibly even the undrafted free agent that they brought in, Alec Lindstrom. That's three of your positions that are potentially in flux from last year. And how soon the Cowboys can cobble something together to work on the offensive line may dictate how the season goes, because that's your protection for Dak Prescott. That's how you open lanes in the running game. And there's no way you can look at this and say that they aren't in a less secure position than last year. It's just this is an issue we've got to face.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, when you look at offensive lines and the way they're constructed these days, like, I know everybody focuses on the starting five, but I really tend to look like almost two to three deep, because the expectation is at some point someone's gonna fall. And you know, when I look at the pieces of the top eight Cowboys offensive linemen, and I think, who do I feel confident about? It's like one and a half, right? Zach being one and Tyron being a half, in that if he's healthy, I feel good about it, but I don't feel good about him being healthy. And the rest of it is literally a coin flip. So I feel as bad about this group relative to how they were last year as any group that we will talk about.
Yeah, who's your swing tackle? They don't know that. They've got to figure that out. And you know, if Tyler Smith works out, then McGovern becomes the backup probably for both guard positions, which is not, I don't think that's terrible, but you know, and who knows what's going to happen. So yeah, a lot of questions to be answered. And when we move across to the defensive side of the line, well, guess what? We got some of the same issues, because you know, we no longer have Randy Gregory, who, you know, he was still fighting suspension and issues and stuff, and they didn't know what was going to happen with him, but everyone was kind of counting on him. Now we can't count on him. And you know, they're looking at trying to get Dorrance Armstrong to fill in. You know, maybe Chauncey Golston takes a step up. Sam Williams is obviously a second round pick. They've got a lot of hope for him, but he is a little untested. You know, and I know they're talking him up big, but let's wait and see what happens when he gets out there and they actually use him in the game, because he does have some limitations. You've also got the interior of the defensive line. I don't think we felt really great about it last year, outside of Neville Gallimore, who was having some injury problems. But you really don't know. You've got him, Osa Odighizuwa, who are coming back. They're pretty solid, but you know, is John Ridgeway going to turn out to be a nose tackle? Well, they solved that problem. Are they going to be able to stand up against the run, which was kind of still a little bit of an issue at times last year? So defensive line doesn't fill me with a lot of good feelings, and I don't think should be quite as optimistic about it right now.
This one, I'm actually going to say push on it. And I know that's probably going to surprise you, because, you know, I was in the camp. No. Getting Randy back, bringing him back.
Yeah, not really. It's closer to that. I just think it's not something we can really
Yeah. And I could even find myself, you know, I guess working my way into excitement about it. It's just the parts that I'm excited about aren't typically the parts that you get excited about when you talk about defensive line. Last year at this time, they had Carlos Watkins listed as one of the starting defensive tackles. Well, Carlos Watkins is still on the team right now, but he's listed as the third defensive tackle on this roster. Yeah. Now, at that time, again, last year, when he was healthy, we also had Tristan Hill across from him, and we know how that worked out. Tristan Hill penciled in right now, I think, to be, you know, in that position alongside Neville Gallimore. And that's where, I guess, the balance for me. I look at the top, you know, the front four. Last year, Tank, Randy, Neville, Watkins, or I guess Tristan Hill and Watkins at this time. Now, Tank, Hill, Gallimore, Armstrong, the front four was slightly better last year, no doubt about it, right? Yeah. But then you look at the second, and the addition of Dante Fowler is better than anybody else they had last season as like the five or six defensive linemen. And I go a little bit deeper than that. Like, I love the idea of getting Bohanna and Odighizuwa and Sam Williams time in those positions without feeling like I've got to rely on them to be the guys. And that's not even mentioning, you know, the names that, you know, are coming back here that played a little bit last season. Terrell Basham obviously was a player that they got a little bit of a mileage out of last year. And then Chauncey Golston, as you mentioned, who knows what he could be. So I am going to say now that it's a push where I'm feeling about it, just because I don't know a ton about, you know, where these guys will take the next step, but I feel like it could be an improvement going forward. And I know it's hard to say again, because I felt strongly that they should bring Randy back, but I think they could improve here also somewhat because, you know, we got to consider Micah a part of that group too, right?
Yeah. And that takes us to linebacker. And I feel better about linebacker just because we now know what they have in Micah Parsons. Mm-hmm. We didn't realize this time last year. Now, he is a superb pass rusher, but he also plays the run just sideline to sideline like a heat-seeking missile. And the depth is a little bit of a concern to me because, you know, they're going to be relying on Leighton Vander Esch, who's on, you know, he's kind of in a prove it deal right now to see if he can come back.
Jabril they Cox don't know coming if, off a big injury. I mean, again, you know, and having to kind of fight his way back from that. So, and I hear his name coming up a ton. Like, obviously they're going to have to rely on him heavily. Is he going to be able to carry that load? You know, after basically having a rehab season last year.
Yeah. I would not be surprised to see them get a guy on the 53 getting significant reps with the defense and not just as a special teamer out of the UDFA class, just because I think they don't have enough to fend all of them off. So, but I just having Micah Parsons makes me feel better about it going in, because we had many of the same questions last year.
Yeah, I do. I feel better about the linebacker group than I did a year ago from a stability standpoint, right? Fewer question marks, higher end talent as to what we know of Micah Parsons versus what we knew at this time. So absolutely agree with you on those fronts. I did want to step in on this next part because you originally, when we talked about it, separated it or classified it as the entire secondary. And I'd like to break that up, actually. First, looking at, you know, the cornerbacks, if you will, the one, two, and three, basically in the nickel. I think this group on paper might be slightly better there on paper. Am I wrong on that?
Well, the problem I have with that is I think that's kind of depends on what happens with Kelvin Joseph after his incident where he was in the car when somebody was shot and killed by another person in the car. He could be facing a suspension, so I don't know how that's going to work out. if we knew he was going to be cleared and the league wasn't going to slam him, that would be one thing. But until we know for sure, that's what concerns me, because they didn't do much. You know, they got up, you know, a guy in the fifth round who's probably going to do special teams work and everything. And so is Nashon Wright good depth? You know, they've still got Jordan Lewis. So, you know, they can put Diggs, Brown, and Lewis out there, which is not a bad trio. But, you know, the fact that they're kind of pinning some hopes on Joseph to be okay with his out-field issues has me a little bit nervous here.
Well, and I also agree with what you astutely said before we started the pod, which is like defense and regression to the mean. You have to understand that these two correlate from season to season. And if you had a season like a Trayvon Diggs a season ago, where he had double-digit interceptions, it's very difficult to replicate the type of turnovers that the Cowboys produced a season ago, just from dumb luck.
Yeah. And that leaves the safeties. And they're basically the big thing they did was re-sign Jayron Kearse, which was, I think, the most important move of the offseason. He is so essential to what Dan Quinn does with his ability to come up and be kind of that hybrid linebacker type, what some people call a Leo in some terminologies. But they lost DeMonte KZ. It's not to me as deep as I think it was last season. Because you're going to have Malik Hooker, I think, is very solid. As I said, Kearse is great. And we're going to see if Donovan Wilson can hold off a challenge. They seem to have high hopes for Marquise Bell, undrafted free agent, who they basically guaranteed him a full salary on the practice squad. So, that says that they're looking for things from him. It'll be interesting to see how he does. And there's some people thinking that, Donovan Wilson may be in trouble keeping a roster spot. So I think it's that's maybe a push or maybe a little bit weaker situation in that, because, we were real hopeful about the three safeties they signed in free agency last year, and they all worked out.
I feel better about it, Tom.
Okay.
I feel better about it than I did at this time last year, because, like, we signed a lot of names, but we didn't really know what we had, to me. And Jayron Kearse, like, proved to be that player that at least could fill that role, and we didn't even have one of the two spots filled a season ago.
Yeah.
So I actually feel a little bit better about the safeties. Do we want to do place kicking, special teamers?
I just have to say it. I just feel better because they don't have Greg Zuerlein there. He's gone. They made the decision, which I think they had to make, and now they're going to see who they can find. And I'm not at all concerned about them relying on a UDFA or somebody that can come in and beat him out, because, kickers don't have to be there and practice in camp. You can figure out in a tryout if it's somebody that you want to roll the dice with. Mm-hmm. So, I feel a little bit better about it. I think the kicking is going to wind up in better hands for extra points and the field goals that you should almost always make. We couldn't depend on that last year. And I think they're going to possibly get that solved. So.
And, well, be careful what you wish for, on the kicking front. It feels like the Cowboys have gone they've gone back and forth between like no name kicker, big name kicker, total no name kicker, youth unknown, big name kicker. Like it feels like, or, veteran kicker. It feels like they've gone back and forth on that. So nice to see, they got this kicker out of Texas Tech, like local kid. Hopefully he can provide some stability to make us feel at least confident when the Cowboys line up, to kick a field goal. Punting wise, push. same way as they were a season ago. So overall, Tom, here's what I have on my record, and you tell me. I'll just kind of rapid fire. Quarterback, feel better for health reasons. Running back, push, about the same as we were a year ago. Wide receiver, offensive line, tight end, feel worse about all three on paper.
Yes.
Defensive line, I argue push. I think you felt a little bit worse. Mm-hmm. Linebacker, I think we're better, more confident. Cornerbacks, push. It's basically the same cast of characters as it was a season ago, all depending on what's going to happen with Kelvin Joseph. I guess if anything, I'd say I feel a little bit worse just because of the pending cloud over Joseph's head.
Yeah.
And then at safeties, I feel better. So of those nine position groups that we went through, and kicker, we feel better too, right? So we'll include that in there as number 10. Of those 10 position groups, I have four that I feel better about. I have three that I feel worse about. And I have three that I pushed.
I'd say that I probably went through it just because I have a little bit of questions in the secondary. I probably would have one more that I feel worse about. And otherwise, that would probably be about the same. Hmm. The interesting thing, something that's really changed, is that the big question marks this year on offense.
That's exactly what this detailed to me. I'm like, holy smokes, like everything that has me apprehensive, it all has to do with the offense.
And two of them are big worries. Let's face it, big worries.
Offensive line could absolutely derail your entire season.
Yeah, and if they don't get it clicking with their wide receivers, that could be a real problem if Dak is having trouble connecting with people down the field. So I basically don't feel as optimistic about the roster right now. There are possible solutions, but the thing is, not all the things they're going to try are going to work out. And that's one of the things that people tend to get into the mindset of, hey, they're going to figure this out. Well, no. Any NFL team, you know, I don't know what the hit rate is, whether it's a third, whether it's 50-50, or whether, you know, they blow it two-thirds of the time. So, you know, and some teams can do worse, you know, and every now and then a team does really good. You know, I'll argue the team did pretty good last year. They had a high hit rate, which means they're due for some misses this time around. That's just kind of how the law of averages works out. So let's do one last thing. Give me a name of somebody that people may not be looking for that you think is going to shine more than people would guess.
You know, there's obviously a lot of names on this list that like people are high on. So I feel like anybody I name, you know, like, do I think that with a fully healthy season, like Neville Gallimore can take the next step into, you know, it's certainly not the Aaron Donald, like Jeffrey Simmons tier, but I think there's a tier of interior defensive linemen that are like known to be disruptive. And I think Neville Gallimore can find his way into that tier. The other one, you know, again, it's not like, man, I shouldn't say Tony Pollard because that wouldn't surprise anybody, but
yeah.
I just look at that as like, could we see this finally being the season where Tony Pollard like starts to work his way into 50% or even more of the touches in that backfield? And like, I think we're finally at that point where I'm ready to see that. I mean, outside of that, like, I don't want to speak on any of these undrafted free agents. Like, I know there's a lot more people more qualified to speak on those guys than I am, because I haven't seen a lick of them. Right. And all I really care about is how they match up in the NFL. Like, I don't care what their tape looked like in college. I don't care if they played it, you know, against the SEC or if they played against, you know, D3, because ultimately this is the NFL now and it's all the same level. So now you've got to adjust to this level and prove that you can do something on that front. Do you have a guy that you've
highlighted? I've got one on offense and one on defense. Offense, I think Noah Brown is going to surprise because he's going to get more opportunities this year. And I think he's been around, he's learned a little bit. And I think if he can develop a little rapport with Dak and take the pressure off of Lamb and Tolbert. I think he might wind up being your wide receiver three to start the season and beat out James Washington. I could be wrong. But even if he doesn't, I think he's going to be a very solid wide receiver four when they first get started. And then when Michael Gallup comes back, they're still going to try to get him involved. The guy to watch on defense for me, I think Chauncey Golston is going to turn it up a notch. And there were flashes last season, you know, and I think he's just a guy that's got a lot of potential that may come out. Don't forget, you know, he was a third round pick.
Yeah.
And so I think he just was a guy that needed some time, but he started coming on a bit late last season. And I think once again, the opportunity is going to be there. And, you know, we may see him pushing Armstrong and Fowler for reps very quickly.
Well, as the Cowboys continue their offseason work, no one will have you better covered than we will here at Blogging the Boys. And of course, as I mentioned, make sure you follow the Twitter at Blogging the Boys on Twitter. You can check out all the content, bloggingtheboys.com. And of course, you can follow Tom at Tom Ryle BTB. You can follow me at RDub3. And we really appreciate you listening to the program. Stay riled up on the Dallas Cowboys, and we will talk to you next Thursday with another edition. See ya.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.